Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Explain to everyone, why is it that going to a Sox game gave you something to talk about in your special when it came to your wife's clothing?
Oh, with the open shoulder shirt?
Yes.
Yeah, that was she wore that to the my son actually was asked to throw out the first pitch in a game to bring awareness to pediatric cancer while he was kind of going through his battle. And my wife wore the open shoulder shirt. And that was when I started kind of making fun of her because we had the picture like framed in our house. So once they turned 38, they're like, here's your open shoulder shirt. Get on out there. Show everyone what you're working with. Every woman's just walking around. Hey, check it out. Here's a part of my body I'm confident about.
Here's my shoulder.
Here it is. That's a tetanus scar. That's a tetanus scar right there. I've been vaccinated. That's going to come back. That shirt's going to be very appropriate, hopefully soon, once the vaccination comes out. When the vaccine gets here, I'm going to put an open shoulder shirt on.
Make me a bicycle clown.
That was our guy, Pat McGann, yesterday. He was on the show, and he was fantastic. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We have a lot of fun stuff planned for you. I threw it out on Twitter. I do want to talk with Cubs fans a little bit about what's going on with the team offensively, and I plan on talking with Patrick Mooney about that coming up in the next segment. Mark Grody is going to join me at 12:40. We're going to talk about the Bears. I initially wanted to talk to him just about some of the strange things that are popping up on the injury list and them getting ready for this game against the Lions on Sunday. But George McCaskey spoke this morning, and he had a couple of interesting things to say. So I'm going to talk with Grotes about that. Stacey Dales from NFL Network, she's been covering both the Lions and the Bears this week. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with her at 1:30 about this game and how weird it is and what this season is going to look like. It opens up tonight. It opens up tonight with Patrick Mahomes versus Deshaun Watson. Bears fans' worst nightmare. They get the new age version. The new age outlaw. The new age version of Brady versus Manning right there on display for you tonight as the NFL kicks off his season. But I don't want to spend too much time talking about that. I do want to give some props to the White Sox on their win last night. That's how you have a bounce back. That's a legitimate bounce back game from after the poor play that we had seen the night before. But tell me that you didn't facepalm when you saw Grandal at first base with the bad pitch. Like, it was just the symmetry of it was ridiculous. Where you're going, oh, now he's the one that's getting the bad pitch to a bad toss to a pitcher going to the base instead of him getting a bad toss from a pitcher at home plate. But they turned it around. Dane Dunning was really good last night. It's interesting, though. James Feegan wrote a piece this morning on The Athletic. I love James, and I love his work. He was talking about how you can be excited about Dane Dunning, but you do have to realize that he hasn't pitched against any real offensive competition, which might be perfect for a young guy that's still trying to figure things out after TJ surgery. But he was very, very effective in last night's game. Six innings, three strikeouts for him. Did not give up an earned run. And even inside there, inside the mop-up duty, I actually was really I was pleased with the way that Steve Cishek pitched. That's something that has been troublesome, is he hasn't been very good. He was good last night in the two innings of work that he gave, that one inning of work that he gave you, and then Gio Gonzalez coming back and working for two innings last night after he was on the injured list. The White Sox are in first place by a full game over Cleveland and Minnesota as we start the show today, 27-16. James McCann.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Now, Herbie has been saying this, and Danny Parkins has been saying this too, that maybe McCann prices himself out of the White Sox. I think it's more likely now than I did earlier in the season. I still wonder, though, because was he making $5 million a year? If you're talking about giving him a raise to $7 million a year, is it worth it to have him, considering what he can do for you defensively and what he does for Lucas Giolito? Plus, I was expecting there to be him to fall back offensively, and he is not falling back offensively. His first multi-homer game last night. Slappy, a.k.a. Nick Madrigal, a.k.a. Nick Hit It Where They Ain't Madrigal, came through in a bases loaded situation yesterday, drove in two. And let me just say that the Madrigal RBI is great. The two-run single is great. A very small thing that happened inside of that crazy fourth inning that the White Sox had that gave me legitimate hope. Aloy drawing a walk. A four-pitch walk where he wasn't insanely, like, impetuous. He just said, all right, you're going to keep trying to go outside. Fine, I'm not going to swing the bat. I love to see that. I love when a batter is seeing the ball well enough to lay off stuff that's outside but close to the zone, and I thought that you saw that. And of course, Jose Abreu extends his hit streak to a personal high 22 games. 22-game hit streak for him. If you're wondering, the White Sox record is 29. So there's a shot that he could get it done within this season. So good luck to him. And how about Jose with an infield hit, kind of, to extend the streak? Big man was chugging down the line. I like to see that. You don't want to get in front of that train, though. You get in front of that train, something bad's going to happen to you. Okay, so the White Sox are in good shape. They have an off day, and then they've got 17 games in a row. The Cubs' offense is a problem right now, and we need to discuss it. Patrick Mooney is going to join me, and we're going to talk with him about that. And then I got some reaction from you. You're more than welcome to send some reaction via the Tech Zone. The Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time and shop online at rosenhyundai.com. What's wrong with the Cubs' offense? We're going to discuss it next here on The Score.
Don't miss Bears Monday on The Score. It's an all-day, can't-miss Bears recap. Listen in as The Score guys react to the game. Get analysis from our team of Bears experts. And take your calls. Bears Monday, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Iglesias deals, Baez hits a pop fly, this ball game is going to come to an end. Freddy Galvis makes the catch. It's all over. Cincinnati wins it by a score of 3-0.
That highlight courtesy of The Score. The Cubs are still in first place in the National League Central. It doesn't feel like it, though. It's felt this way probably for the last couple of weeks, even in some cases with them extending their lead in the National League Central. I wanted to get a sense of what has been going on offensively with the Cubs, so we reached out to Patrick Mooney, who covers the Cubs for The Athletic. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park, or you could just go to alpamonteford.com. Patrick, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Lawrence.
So your colleague and our friend, Sahadev, did a whole piece on Chris Bryant that I wanted to ask you a little bit about. And I want to ask like kind of a big picture question with him. I think when the season began and we were talking about baseball being back, a lot of people said, oh, you know, no decisions can be made on this 60-game season. It's such a small sample size. I wonder, though, if players play poorly, does the leverage then go to the team? If you're the Cubs and you're thinking about extending Javier Baez and Chris Bryant, are you thinking that because of their performance in the shortened 2020 season, you might be able to get a deal with those guys that you wouldn't ordinarily get?
I think some of these decisions are being made for both sides. I think there's kind of no way to envision Chris Bryant and Javier Baez, two of the most confident, accomplished players in franchise history, represented by two separate, really powerful agencies, that all of a sudden they're going to kind of fold and kind of run to the Cubs asking for a deal. And I think from a Cubs perspective, you know, you're looking ahead to 2021 and beyond. I don't really see how they're going to trade either one of those guys this offseason at their absolute kind of low point, really as a professional baseball player. So I think that's kind of an undercurrent to watching this team over the last couple weeks, a first place team, granted, that we've seen some of these issues before, and I'm not really sure where that quick fix or dramatic turnaround is coming this offseason.
I keep wondering about that too, Patrick. Like, I keep, like, to me, like, the idea, and Rossi and I have talked a little bit about the idea of the back of the baseball card, right? I understand that theory, and I usually subscribe to it. I just feel like there's not enough time to have these things work themselves out if you have any dreams of winning a championship. Is that fair or misguided?
I'm trying to think. Are you asking the same questions you asked Joe Maddon on your show? It's just funny watching it. I feel like it's some of the same questions we've all had for different managers, and whether or not there's enough time, I'm not sure the Cubs really have much of a choice during this kind of really weird, you know, experimental season. And you know, I get where Ross is coming from. You kind of run these guys back out there, and you know, if you're looking at this offense, you're kind of wondering, you know, if the front office had really kind of limited shots to take in the offseason. They signed a guy, Steven Souza, who was coming off a major knee injury, and they DFA'd him in the middle of a doubleheader, and then they brought in Jose Martinez, which, you know, made a lot of sense on paper at the trade deadline, and they optioned him out to South Bend a couple days later. So I don't know, if you're kind of throwing things against the wall, I think Javi and KB are probably your best bets still.
I agree. I mean, to me, you have to give them an opportunity to fix it. I just wonder if there's legitimately enough time to do it. Like, in a 162 season, a guy could have a bad run. I mean, Rizzo does this pretty much annually, where things start slow, and then he turns on fire in the second half of a season, and you look up and he's hitting 300 and he has 30 home runs and 100 RBIs. I just wish there was more time, because we know that these guys are good. One more thing I want to ask you about those two guys in particular, and specifically Baez, and we're talking with Patrick Mooney of the Athletic here on The Score. How much of what he had to say about using video in-game is legitimate?
Yeah, that's what I asked David Ross. You know, is either Javi the only one being totally honest about it, or is he the one most impacted by it? And Ross kind of laughed and said with a smile that, you know, he's the one being honest about this. And it's not just the Cubs. It's really an entire generation of hitters who were kind of raised on video and having access to it immediately. And I get that, you know, Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio didn't have, like, their swings broke down on StatCast immediately. But, you know, all the shiny new toys, as Joe Maddon likes to say, favors, you know, pitching and defense. And hitting is extremely difficult under the best of circumstances. So I'm sure that's a factor, one of, many in this kind of pandemic season.
I got the sense from looking at the post game, whether it was Ross or Anthony Rizzo, I got the sense that outside of Yu Darvish, there are not a lot of people who like Trevor Bauer in the Cubs dugout.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of a Reds-Cubs thing at large. I think these teams, when they normally play each other like 19 times a year, I think the Cubs over the years have kind of, turned themselves into a target in which they're not universally beloved. And certainly Bauer just loves the attention on social media. Pitching Ninja on Twitter has the great clips of him, strutting around after each strikeout. And yeah, I can't imagine there are too many Cubs hitters who liked seeing Trevor Bauer out there last night.
Yeah, he was really good. I thought dominant in the way that he handled the Cubs offense. On the other side, it's a weird thing to get excited about, but Darvish has been so good. And for him to have those anomalies that happen where he walks two in a row, which hadn't happened since last May, then he gives up three runs in an inning, the fact that he didn't let it rattle him and he found his command from the second inning on to finish with a quality start, I thought was pretty impressive.
No doubt, because that's what we had seen in 2018 and parts of 2019. And granted, there were underlying health issues there, but that's kind of been the knock on Darvish, that he can be great, and then all of a sudden, if something goes wrong, he kind of loses focus, or these are kind of Darvish problems of having so many pitches at your disposal, so many different variations, and not really kind of being sure what to do in the moment. And you're exactly right, and he's been so great, it was kind of stunning to see him do that and then have Moustakas put that big swing on a curveball, and it was essentially game over. But yeah, I mean, you see someone who's totally at the top of his game right now, to where it didn't rattle him. He more than kept his team in the game. This offense that we've been talking about for years just has to show up.
Where are the Cubs with the Craig Kimbrel project?
Still in the experimental phase. I mean, Jeffress has been awesome. I mean, there's no way they're going to take him out of that role. Kimbrel, has been, pretty good, but it's been in these really low leverage moments. I think the Cubs bullpen in general, every year they seem to find guys and coach them up, and the numbers are probably better than we expect. It's just at this point, it comes down to the rotation, and it's just really hard to not know what you're going to get basically three out of every five starts. And so I'm sure with Kimbrel, they'll keep kind of scripting this out here and, allowing him to kind of build confidence and muscle memory, stuff like that. And sure, maybe by the end of the year, October, they either trust him or he's going to be forced into a situation and is, kind of better prepared for it than he was clearly at the beginning of this year, or really since he signed that contract with the Cubs.
Patrick, if the Cubs were playing their best two out of three series right now, who would start game three?
I think it would be some sort of scripted bullpen day, that it would be obviously dependent upon how hard those guys were used in games one and two. Maybe you'd have Chatwood and Quintana back to where they could piggyback each other. Maybe there's a spot in the lineup where they trust John Lester. Granted, he did not show any sort of signs the other night that he was going to come out of this, but John Lester has worked his way through these ruts before, and I don't think we can totally discount him. But it wouldn't be like John Lester give us seven innings. It would be an all-hands-on-deck scenario, and while the Cubs you know, haven't used openers typically. You've seen them in the playoffs. I mean, Quintana against the Nationals in that wild series in 2017, you know, he pitched out of the bullpen. I think those wheels have already started turning. I think it could be pretty fun to watch.
As always, I appreciate your time. Great, great Cubs coverage. The Yu Darvish story was really great. I enjoyed it. Thanks so much for having some time for the show.
Anytime, Lawrence. Be well.
You too. That's Patrick Mooney of The Athletic joining me. This morning, I went to go get a cup of tea from the local coffee shop. I hadn't been outside in a couple of days, and it was weird. So I was like, let me walk a few blocks and go get some coffee. Well, tea in my case, because I don't drink coffee. And while I was in the coffee shop, I actually tweeted out this question. I asked Cubs fans to talk to me about the offense. This is what I had. Talk to me about the offense. Even though they're a first-place team, how much confidence do you have in them in a postseason series? So you can text me, or you can on Twitter if you want, but if you want to text me, 670, I'm sorry, I went backwards, 312-644-6767, if you want to text in a response. Some of the responses are really interesting, and my brother, Lynn Bramer, my turntable brother, Lynn Bramer, Mr. Number One Cub fan, he said, I have very little confidence. The numbers tell the story. Two elite pitchers in a lineup of used-to-bes. Wow. That's harsh coming from a Lynn Bramer. I knew Joe Kilgallen was going to jump into it because we were talking about him yesterday and trying to give him equal time. He said, this is such a weird season. Back of the baseball card theory says the KB, Baez, Rizzo, etc. all due to go on a tear. Hopefully that starts last week of the season and carries through October. And that's what got me to thinking about it. I am someone who subscribes to that you are what you are, and you'll always be that until you're not physically able. And maybe in Bryant's case, that's what's going on with all of the hand injury. Now there's an elbow injury to go along with it. I just wonder if there's enough at-bats. If there's enough at-bats for these guys to work their way through it between now and when you would want them to be clicking by the end of the season. So if you want to text us at 312-644-6767 with your thoughts on the Cubs offense, I would love to read them. And I'm going to continue reading some of the tweets that came in as well. We need to take a break. The Bears chairman spoke on some of the stuff that Brian Urlacher has been doing on social media. We'll find out what he said coming up next here on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score. Brian Billick.
I kind of figured they'd go with Trubisky. I mean, why would you start Nick Foles? Because in doing so, you're saying, no, our first overall pick from a couple years ago isn't good enough. And then if it doesn't go well, then they have Nick Foles.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I feel like the injury was a bigger deal in the media than it really was, you know, here. He bounced back off of that, you know, so fast. Like, it's like it never happened. You know, he's already back doing the things you love to see him doing, you know, running hard and just, you know, making that first person have a tough day tackling him. And I just see him having a great year this year. You know, like I said, his yards after that first contact is going to be, you know, off the charts this year.
I hope Tariq Cohen is right about that and that there are no issues with David Montgomery and his groin that has him on the injury list, but he had limited participation. There are a couple other things on the injury list, at least from yesterday, that got my attention. And before we talk with Mark Grody, I wanted to break that down for you. He's going to join us after they're done wrapping up with the Zoom conferences. So that's how they're doing the press conferences up at Halas Hall. Robert Quinn hasn't really practiced in a while. And this may just be an older guy that you're doing maintenance on because he's listed with an ankle injury. He did not participate in yesterday's practice. So that's not great because I feel like he's a huge key to what the Bears want to do defensively. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday, how their pass rush is going to allow for the back four to make plays. Ideally, you're not going to be able to double-team Quinn, Hicks, Mack. And unlike Leonard Floyd, Quinn has a knack for getting to the quarterback and getting the quarterback on the ground. So whenever, you know, the Bears would always talk about, well, how good is Leonard Floyd against the run? And he was good. And I actually thought that he was good in space. I wonder what he would say to this if you got him in an honest moment. I always felt like they had him out of position. Like, that wasn't really what he did at Georgia. So I always wondered if he felt like he was not being used properly. And I also wonder if he would never say this, but if he was drafted too high. If he was drafted just on traits and not more about production plus projection. Anyway, that's maybe a podcast that I'll do later on at some point in my life. But that worries me a little bit. Khalil Mack, who did his press conference earlier this week on the Peloton, which is hysterical to me, he's on there with limited participation in practice with a knee injury. David Montgomery, like it's like the flip of the coin, where it's good that David Montgomery had limited participation in practice because there was talk that he might not be ready for 4 weeks with the groin. My only concern when it comes to a guy coming back from a groin injury, yeah, they can kind of replicate some of the things that they're going to ask you to do in individual drills and maybe even a little bit in 11-on-11 if you do some stuff versus the scout team defense. The suddenness and the ferocity with which you play inside of a game concerns me when you're talking about a guy that had a groin injury a couple weeks ago. And I know Tariq said that we played it up more than they did, but we weren't the ones that carted him off the field when he hurt his groin. The Bears were the ones that carted him off the field when that happened. And clearly that's concerning when a player's groin injury is so bad that they can't really walk off the field. So my concern comes in if you have Montgomery and he's making a cut at full speed, is he good to go? Like, are those some things that he's going to be able to do? That's my worry. Hopefully he's good, because if he is good, then that gives the Bears a lot of options with their run game. The Bears were talking about it. Ryan Pace was talking about it earlier this week, that he really likes the flexibility of and the depth of their run game. I don't feel as strongly about it, to tell you the truth. And the reason why is that when Pace was talking about it, he was talking about, oh, well, you know, we've got a lot of guys that complement each other. And I agree with him. I think that he's right about that. Them being complementary players to each other doesn't work without Montgomery being the central focus of their run attack. Like, I like Tariq Cohen a lot as a player, and I feel like he didn't get as much opportunity as he should. And there are things I don't like about him when he gets the ball in his hands. Like, I wish there were times when he would just run forward. Like, I know that he thinks that he can get 25 on every carry, but sometimes you just need him to get 4. And he doesn't have to kind of do the spinorama and take people all the way across the formation to get those yards. And I like Patterson, too, in the role that they've had him in. I just don't like that that's what you're going to be focusing on if there's no Montgomery. Montgomery is the best of both worlds. Like, he gives you some wiggle, he gives you some power, and he's able to catch the ball out of the backfield. So that's what I'd prefer, is that he's out there and then, you know, you can work off of that. So I guess the Zooms are running a little long. So Herbie, why don't we try and reschedule Groats for 1 o'clock?
We'll do.
Let's Let's do that. If he can make it, like if he's up there working, like let that man cook. I'm all for. We'll wait. We'll wait for him to get done. But why don't we do that at 1 o'clock and because we're running out of segment anyway. And there's some other stuff that I want to get back to, like your thoughts on what's going on with the Cubs and their offense. And your text messages have come in. They are brought to you in the text zone. Are brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. Some of the things that you're saying, like, he's that quick? All right, I don't want to run out of segment. So let's just keep him at one unless he has to dart off. Like, you let me know, because I don't want to rush through, because there's a lot of stuff to go through with him. So if he can do it at one, cool. If not, then we'll
get him
do
at
it right
1 o'clock.
Now.
Yeah, Mark Grody will join us at 1 o'clock.
All right, I like that. That way we don't have to rush through all this stuff. And I can get back to what you were saying about the Cubs. Here's the 847 text. I think the Cubs have problems with starting pitching. Lester and Quintana are mysteries now. Chatwood is a big gamble. Hopefully the mysteries will be solved over the remainder of the regular season. The Quintana thing is interesting to me. I feel like we kind of have our answers on John Lester. And I want to lean back, Fat Joe, on how good Lester has been in the postseason. I just see a lot of things from him where without the velo, he has to have impeccable command. He has to hit his spots all the time. And for the first couple starts of the season, I'd say probably the first three starts of the season, he was doing a good job of keeping the ball low and not getting hurt. Now that's not the case. Now John Lester is getting the ball up and he's getting tagged. So if you're Ross, like you're like, you know what this guy has done. You've caught him in multiple places. But how much do you weigh what John Lester was in the playoffs and is in the playoffs versus the pitcher that he is right now? If the Cubs have to win to advance, and that's what it would be, like let's say they split the first two games of this three game and they have to win in that third game, are you comfortable with John Lester taking the bump in that third game? Or would you prefer that it be Tyler Chatwood or Jose Quintana? If I was a betting man, I don't think FanDuel has anything that you can bet this with. If I was a betting man, I would bet that Ross and Tommy Hotovy are hoping that over the next 2 weeks, Jose Quintana can prove to him that he's that guy. That he's going to be healthy enough that in a game three situation, they feel comfortable sending him out there for five innings and then turning it over to a makeshift bullpen. That would be my guess if I were a betting man. More of your reactions to this. 219. Cubs need to play the normal starters every day and hope they snap out of it. Otherwise, they're going to be bounced from the first round of the playoffs. I think that Rossi's trying. Like they've had issues. Guys have been hurt. Guys have been sick. I don't think that he's sitting anyone for ineffective play. And when you have guys that are producing, like, David Bodie's overall season doesn't look great, but when you look at the production that he's giving you in two-out situations this year, that's a guy that probably needs to be in the lineup. They've got to figure out ways to score runs. And Schwarber's been solid, and I got into a back-and-forth with someone about this on the text screen yesterday. Schwarber's been like around 800 OPS. I haven't looked after last night's game. He's been around an 800 OPS player. He's hit 10 home runs. That's fine. But it looks so much worse because Bryant's OPS is in the 500s right now. And where's Javi? Javi's in the 600s, right? Like, both of those guys are way below where they are. Rizzo isn't producing. It makes things difficult to project out that their offense is going to be good enough. Yesterday's game with the Cubs looked like the type of playoff game that has you throwing stuff at your television. Things went awful for Darvish in the first inning. Like I was saying this to Patrick Mooney, and I'll say it to you. That's the first time since May of 2019 that Darvish walked back-to-back hitters, and then he gives up a home run. The great thing about it for me was he bounced right back, settled down, found his command, struck out 9. Gave you a quality start. But if it's just Darvish and Hendricks and no offense, you can't win if you don't score. And Trevor Bauer handed it to him yesterday. They got him the last time. He got them this time. And you can tell, like, it's so funny because Ross was asked and Rizzo was asked about him in the post game yesterday. And both of them were just like, whatever. They don't like that dude. That's all right. All right. We'll keep some of this conversation going on in the 1 o'clock hour. If you want to text in your thoughts, 312-644-6767 is the way that you can do it. We're going to take a break. Mark Grody is ready to go. What did the Bears chairman say about Urlacher? And what's up with all these guys on the injury report? We're going to talk with Groats about that next here on The Score.
What a time to be a Chicago sports fan. Start your day with A Score and listen all day, every day. The Bears are back.
Touchdown, Bears!
And both the Cubs and Sox are among the hottest teams in baseball.
Let's win!
Lock it on The Score all day so you don't miss a minute of what we do best. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.